This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny.
Let's first reflect the markets where you are as far as today and also the reaction to what happened on Friday.
Precisely. So let's talk about last Friday first. So last Friday, we do have a slew of key economic data releases out from the US. So very interestingly, we have that PCE inflation trend, which is the key inflation gauge that the US Federal Reserve monitor for the state of inflationary pressure in the US. So from a core PCE inflation perspective, both on a month-on-month and a year-on-year basis, both of them actually came in within market expectation. So for the core PCE price index month-on-month for the month of August, it increases to 0.3%. And year-on-year basis for the core PCE price index, it increased to 2.9%. So that's actually still rather high in terms of the difference where the Fed wants it to be, which is hovering at the long-term target of the 2% mark. Based. So it's still 0.9% away from the on a year-on-year basis from the desired long-term inflationary trend target that the Fed wants it to be at 2%. But however, being said that it came in within expectation, not way too hot, so that actually causes the bets to actually rose in the Fed Funds Futures market for the last meeting of the year. So if you recall about 2 weeks ago and a week ago, after the FOMC meeting, market has now priced in two more interest rate cuts to be coming in for October as in December. And prior to the release of the PCE inflation trend data for the December meeting, which is the last meeting of the year, which is on the 10th of December 2025, it was actually went down to about a coin flip, which is about 58% chance of a Fed rate cut. But after the release of the within expectation of the PCE number on Friday, the odds went up again to a 64% chance as we are speaking right now. So what we could see over here is that market participants in the Fed Funds Futures market are keeping up hopes for a 3 interest rate cut this year. For 25 to be concluded, and that actually causes the US dollar to actually retreat on last Friday. With this retreat of the US dollar and with the increase of the Fed funds rate cut bets for the 10th of December 2025 FOMC meeting, that also put a stall to the prior 3 days of consecutive decline on the major US stock indices. And what's interesting over here is that all the major US stock indices managed to actually test the 20-day moving average on Thursday, and right after the release of the PCE inflation data, it did that bullish reversal off from that 20-day moving average. And also in today's Asia session, it continues to extend its gains via the futures market. As we are speaking right now, the E-mini futures on the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq 100 continues to extend their gains by 0.7% respectively.
So we have a weaker US dollar, Kelvin, but gold has hit another all-time high. Why is that?
Yeah, precisely. So definitely on top of a weaker US dollar that actually fueled a bullish acceleration movement in gold as well, XAU/USD. But one more catalyst for this bullish movement on gold, XAU/USD, as is extending gains today right now. So if you look at the current price movement of gold, it's actually up by 1.5% as we are speaking. And in today's, at the start of the European session, it rallied to a fresh all-time high of 3,820. And the reason, two catalysts that is supporting this bullish momentum in gold. Number one is a weaker US dollar. And secondly, there's this fear of a looming US government shutdown that may take place on we call it after tomorrow, which is 1st of October on Wednesday, given the fact that there is still a brinkmanship at play between the Republicans and the Democrats in the Senate, that they failed to actually agree on a kind of a funding bill that able to keep the US government afloat until mid of November before more discussion that is to be placed in play to rise up the government spending limit over here. So given that we only have about one day more to go, and also US President Trump has agreed to meet up with Senate leaders of the both sides, Democrats and the Republicans, to iron out any differences, there is still a slim chance that things may not get as smooth as desired, and potentially there could be a bit of government shutdown. But based on past historical government, we call it squabbles between this, you know, the rise of this the race of this U.S. government spending ceiling. Yes, we may see a bit of a partial government shutdown, but I do not reckon that it will lead to a outright default in the U.S. Government. That means the U.S. government is unable to pay its obligation, because that both parties do not want to be at fault of them triggering this pronounced U.S. government shutdown that lead to a U.S. government default in terms of your obligation, because midterm election is coming next year as well in 2026. So I believe there is more of a brinkmanship in play. Eventually, things will get ironed out by the last 11 hours or so, and perhaps it may drag down to a 1 week or 2 weeks or so. The previous government shutdown during Trump's first term, it lasted to around 5 weeks in late December of 2018. But what's interesting over here is that once they announced that government shutdown, the stock market rallied instead. So it seems to us that the stock market, the US stock market right now, is actually pricing in such potential movement and ignoring a full-fledged government shutdown that will lead to a full-fledged of a US government default on its obligation.
And of course, one of the headaches, should we get a government shutdown, Kelvin, would be Friday's non-farm payroll data. It wouldn't happen, which would be a bit of a headache for everyone, bearing in mind this is an important one this month, because you've mentioned it before, the potential rate cuts to come were going to be very much affected by the numbers that we're expecting on Friday, or indeed not expecting.
Yes, precisely. So if there's going to be a delay on the release of this Friday non-farm payroll print for September, that definitely will cause a bit of what I call it, undecisiveness that the US Federal Reserve officials among themselves, they will actually potentially decide what to do next on the upcoming October FOMC meeting. But however, there are other, data print that the US officials could actually take note of, will be the release of the ISM services PMI data, which is on Friday as well. That will be on the 3rd of October over here, given that ISM is not a government organization, it's more of a private organization. So they will still have this data coming out as a gauge of, number one, the health of the US economy, given the fact that ISM services PMI data is more of a leading data as compared to the non-farm payroll data, because it's survey-based, and given the fact also that services PMI also represents services activities of the US economy, which constitutes to 3/4 of US GDP growth. So we do have some other, alternative data point that the market participants and the US Federal Reserve officials could pay attention to formulate their decision in the upcoming FOMC meeting in October. But definitely for sure, they tend to rely more on the non-farm payroll data, which is traditionally one of the key sources to have a robust gauge, I would say, on the health of the US labor market.
So those jobs figures are coming up on Friday, we hope. What else is happening over the next few days?
Okay, over the next few days, we have a slew of key data. China official manufacturing and non-manufacturing data for the month of September, and as well as the privately compiled rate rating dot manufacturing and services PMI for September as well. Both of them were released, will be released tomorrow, the 30th of September, before the China National Week long break that is going to be take shape on we call it the 1st of October all the way up to next week, 8th of October. So market participants will be paying close attention to these key sets of manufacturing and services PMI data for China to have a gauge on potential, would there be a, we call it, light at the end of the dark tunnel for this deflationary risk spiral that has been more or less coming in and out of the Chinese economy in the last 3 years. And also on the 30th of September tomorrow, we have a RBA interest rate decision as well, but that has more likely been discounted given the fact that market participants do not expect RBA to cut rates this time round, and they will pay more close attention to the RBA press conference that will come later at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow Singapore time, and to hear for out hints from RBA Governor Bullock or what is the future stance of monetary policy to be from RBA stance or RBA standpoint, given the fact that now the Fed has kind of kickstarted its interest rate cut cycle, that potentially could allow RBA to wait and see and assess this interest rate cut, the first one that came in about 1.5 week ago from the Fed. How does it impact the global economy, and how does it has a trickle down positive impact to the Australian economy? So market participants will be hearing very closely on RBA governor press conference. So if RBA press conference turns out to be a wait and see approach over here, that could actually slow down the bets of future RBA interest rate cuts going forward, and that could be potentially supportive of the Aussie dollar. And going forward, towards the end of the week, we do have 1st of October, we have Eurozone preliminary core inflation data that will be out as well. So market participants will be assessing inflation trend in Eurozone, which tends to temper off right now, not going above that 2% target of ECB. We call it a trend target. So if that comes in line with market participation or market expectation, very likely we kind of seeing ECB to be in a wait and see approach right now, after they hinted in their previous monetary policy meeting that they have already come towards the end of the interest rate cut cycle.
Excellent stuff. Thank you for joining us today, Kelvin. We'll speak to you very soon.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.